Praise God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for each and every person that's here tonight. And Father God, we thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. And Father God, we thank you we will fulfill that plan and that purpose. We thank you tonight as we go to study your word. We thank you, Father, that your word will not return void. But Father God, we thank you that that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us. And help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. We thank you, Father, that we'll take that word, and that word will bring forth life in our lives. And we thank you, Father, that we'll take it and we'll go out to the highways and the byways and share the love of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying and hurting world. Father God, we thank you for revival to this generation. We thank you, Father, for revival to this nation. We thank you for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And we thank you today we come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability that you be lifted up. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. But most of all, we thank you for the anointing of God that's present tonight. That anointing is here to saturate us. That anointing is here to change us. That anointing is here to set us free. And we just give you the praise, honor, and glory. We thank you, Father, for Mom and Dad as they're there in Crusade in Las Vegas. We thank you for the anointing being there. We thank you, Father, for healings taking place. We thank you, Father, for everything you are doing both here and around the world. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise God. God's a good God. And like I said, remember Mom and Dad as they're there in a Crusade team, as they're there in Las Vegas. They're starting tonight. They were in Farmington, New Mexico. And if you don't know where that is, that was the northern part of New Mexico. That kind of confused me today when they were said they were boarding the plane in Durango, Colorado. So I guess there's not even a big enough airport for our plane in Farmington, New Mexico. So anyway, but Durango, Colorado is not too far from Farmington, New Mexico. I didn't know that, even though I do know geography. I'd never looked it up, and so... but I had to look it up because I read Facebook today. All right, we do want to welcome all you that are watching us online at rhema.tv or on the Rhema app, and we're glad to have you join us online. You know, a lot of us, we don't realize that there are a number of people who are also watching us online as well as here in the service, and it's amazing because there are so many people that are up in the middle of the night watching us, you know, from around the world. So, you know, we really are a worldwide church because as we have messages, we preach around the world. In fact, someone just texted me and said that they were watching online. And I don't even have their name in my thing, so I don't know who it was. All right. If you have your Bibles, turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18 and verse 27. If my Father has ever signed your Bible, then he has signed this scripture under his name. I mean, it's just a scripture that he signs. It's one of his favorite scriptures. And so I was reading this scripture the other day, and I just really kind of felt led tonight to talk about it because it is applicable in our life today. This scripture says, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Now, when I was thinking about that, what I was really thinking about is, you know, there are very few situations that we ever really go through that's impossible. Now, we might go through some situations that seem highly unlikely. You know, it doesn't seem like it's going to maybe take place. But there are very few situations, you might not ever face a situation in your entire life that's actually truly impossible. I mean, you might face some situations that it's against most odds. But even if your situation is impossible, all things are possible with God. Now, understand, you know, most of us realize, well, all things are possible with God, but all things are possible to us because we know God and we trust God. You know, and I realize that there are many times, you know, where, I'm loosely calling them friends. But, you know, a friend will say to you, that's impossible, or there is no way. You know, I'm not sure if that's a really good friend because they're trying to discourage you a lot, you know. And, you know, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So maybe your friend is the thief. No. I'm not saying that they are, okay? I'm just saying maybe. I'm putting the question in your mind. But, you know, and I understand, you know, we do realize that there are such things as fact, and, you know, and a lot of times, you know, the facts of life, it doesn't look like it's really possible. But, you know, the Bible assures us that all things are possible. You know, all is an all-inclusive word that includes that is everything. Everything is possible with God. Now, you know, most of the time that we're facing situations and it's really, you know, maybe we need, let's say, like $2,000 to pay a bill or to go on a mission trip or whatever. And maybe, you know, with things going on in your life, it seems like it's improbable, but it's not impossible. I mean, it's possible for you to walk out in the lobby and someone to hand you a blessing and it be a $2,000 check. That's possible. That might not be probable, but it's possible. All right, all things are possible. And so what I really want you to understand is the things that you're probably going through are probably not impossible. All right, but even if they were, it still doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what's possible or what's not possible because I'm not looking to, you know, to the things, I'm looking to my God. See, my faith is not in what a doctor says or not in what a lawyer says, not in what my bills say. My faith is in what God says. All right? And this right here is red letters in your Bible. That means it was Jesus Christ himself speaking. And he said, you know what? All things are possible to God. They might seem impossible to you, but they're possible with God. All things, everything. You know, but sometimes what we have to understand is we don't need to psych ourselves out. Do you realize a lot of times we start focusing on the impossible situation or the improbable situation, and our focus is more on the situation than it is on our God. All right? Now, maybe your situation is tough, and maybe it seems highly unlikely, but quit worrying about the situation and start thinking about God. It's not for, and I understand, you know, it's human nature for us to worry about a situation. But I'm trying to tell you that a born-again Christian needs to have an inhuman trait. That inhuman trait is to put their trust in something that's not human. All right? Because we have the authority and the ability through the name of Jesus. We have that right. We have that privilege to put our trust in God. And I'm going to give you an example. And I've never really shared this with you, last year. But, most of you know that I have been dealing with a kidney issue. And, they won't even tell me I'm healed. They told me that it's, I'm in remission. We don't have that class remission and authority, they say I'm in remission. And the reason they say is because it's highly unlikely for somebody to get healed of that disease that I have. I was talking to a gentleman, and he said, "You're real lucky." I'm not lucky. I'm blessed. All right, but he, you know, and I just found out just the other day. Actually, my sister was talking to somebody that had the same kidney ailment that I had, and he just had to have a kidney transplant because of it. And according to statistics, that even when people get to kidney transplants, their new kidneys develop that same disease. That's according to statistics. But see, you didn't ever hear me talk about those things. My focus is not on those things. I don't put my focus on the disease. I put my focus on God. Amen. And that's what we have to do. We have to put our focus on God. It's not. In fact, I even quit reading about all the statistics and things because you know what? I don't want that to cloud my mind. Sometimes, you know, it's okay to do research about diseases and about things, you know, but at some point in time, if researching it is going to cause you, your focus to get away from God, then quit doing the research. You know, I even told my wife, I said, if you want to keep researching it, go ahead, just don't tell me anything. All right, I don't really care. Because, you know, she's trying to tell me, well, do you realize how serious it is? I get it. But do you realize how good our God is? And that's what I'm trying to get you know, across today. Do you realize how good our God is? That our God is so good that even when you face an impossible situation, it's possible through God. All right? It doesn't matter what it looks like. Remember, you know, we're not moved by what we see. We're not moved by what we feel. We're not moved by what it says on Google. We're not moved by what the bills say. But we have to understand, you know, that we have a God that's good, that loves us, that cares about us. You know, I mean, you know, I was just singing, actually last night in Synergy, we're singing the song, How Great Is Our God? You know, if our God is that great, then you know, quit thinking about, well, there's no way that he's going to take care of this situation. Now, most people would never think that, but they act like it. See, they really think, well, their God's able, but they're not sure if they're able to let their God. And that's the problem. You have to be able to let God work in your life. And the way you do is you put your faith in him. All right? But now, let's turn back a few pages to Luke chapter 1. I decided to look up a lot of scriptures that talk about impossible because you know what? I just feel that there are people today that are facing things that they maybe have thought are impossible or highly unlikely. Luke chapter 1 and verse 37, and this is where the angel appears to Mary and tells her that she's going to have a child. And she said, well, I hadn't even been with a man. How can I have a child? You know, and so the angel continues to go on and talks not only about Mary, but about her cousin Elizabeth. And it says in verse 37 of Luke chapter 1, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Amen. See, with God, there is nothing that is impossible or that will be impossible. That means no matter what situation you face, with God, it's not impossible. There's always a way. All right? Now, what's more interesting about it is that Jesus Christ came into this world by an impossible situation. But that's just like Jesus. You know, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still doing impossible situations in people's lives. Just like he did at his own birth. That was an impossible situation. That wasn't just highly unlikely. Now, I've had the privilege of doing a lot of youth ministry, and at first, a lot of times, young ladies end up pregnant, and they try to tell us that actually it was a virgin birth, because they don't want to give up the dad. Later on, every time the dad's name was revealed at some point in time. But you know, in this situation, it was an impossible situation. But what I'm trying to tell you is most of the time your situations are not impossible. So how much more easy is it, you know, for you to understand if God can do an impossible situation, well, it's a piece of cake for him to provide for this need. I mean, all you have is the flu. Well, my goodness. I mean, that's nothing. Well, you only have a small bill. That's nothing. You know, the thing about it is don't get all caught up on what you have. In fact, the Bible talks about is taking your things and giving them to God. You know, if this is your worry, if you're worried about a situation, say, God, here. You take a hold of this bill. You take a hold of this thing. You know, I'm tired of dealing with it. No, but you understand, if you give it to God, and then later on you start worrying about it, you didn't give it to God. Because if you're worried about something you gave to God, then you have issues. Maybe you need to go see a psychologist or something like that. Because, you know, if I was to give my car to somebody, then that car does not belong to me anymore. So, you know, I mean, if I give my car to somebody and they wrecked it, I don't care. I feel bad for them, but it's not my car. All right, but when you give something to God, why are you still caring about it? You're caring because you haven't really given it to God. You've said, you know, God, I want you to care too, but I'm going to also hang on to it as well. We're going to care together. But God doesn't need you to care. He doesn't need you. You need to learn to trust in him and quit caring about a situation. Now I understand, you know, I get it. I mean, my grandfather one time talked about something, and he said, you know, his first word, actually only time in my entire life, he actually told me he was worried about a situation. But as soon as he mentioned those words, worry, he stopped. And he said, Craig, I'm not worried. I'm not, you know, we're not supposed to be worried. I'm just a little concerned. All right? I mean, you know, but he said, you know, I'm not worried because my faith is in God. And, you know, it was interesting, you know, to hear him actually utter those words, because I've never heard him say the word worry before. I didn't know if it was in his vocabulary. But then he said, you know, I'm not really worried. I'm just concerned, but my faith is in God. My trust is in God. And that's what your faith and trust has to be in God, not in you, not in your ability, not in what you can do, but in him. Let's turn to another scripture that talks kind of like about impossible situations. Mark chapter 9. Mark the 9th chapter. In the 23rd verse, and every scripture I'm reading tonight, you most of you can probably quote them. Some of you probably do. But the question is, you know, the Bible's not about memorization. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not about that I can quote, you know, 50 million scriptures, because quoting a scripture doesn't change your life. Living a scripture will change your life. Because a lot of us, you know, we quote scriptures, but we live our life a different way. You know, and I'm not saying you're living in sin. I'm just saying you don't live like the scripture says. Because you're worrying about situations. You're concerned about situations. When God's saying, just give them to me. Anyway, Mark, the 9th chapter, the 23rd verse, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Now notice, this talks about you. And it gives you some homework. It says that you have to believe. Notice the scripture does not say, if your pastor believes for you, all things are possible. He didn't say, if your mama believes. He didn't say, if you get enough prayer groups believing. He said, if you believe. That means you got to do something. You have to believe. Now, you have to believe that it's going to happen. It's not that hard. Your faith is in God. It's not in you. But you have to believe. It says all things are possible to him who believes. Now, if all things are possible to him that believes, you know, I learned in school that if things are, you know, if positive things are, or if everything is possible positively, it's also possible negatively. So basically it says, if you don't believe, nothing is impossible. I mean, nothing is possible. If you don't believe, nothing is possible. So really, it's up to you. What I'm telling you is all things are possible to God, but it's up to you for all things to be possible to you. Because many times people think, well, yeah, you know, with God, all things are possible. Yes, they are, but they're possible to you if you can believe that your God can make it able for you. Just because God can do everything doesn't mean that you get everything. How do you get everything? Because you decide to believe. Not your pastor decided to believe for you. Not your parents decided to believe for you. You have to believe. And it's not hard to believe, because I'm not believing in myself. I'm not believing that I can do something that's going to make it possible. My faith is not in me. My faith is in my God. Now, the only reason it's possible to me is because I believe, and I believe in him. I believe that he is able. Not I am able, he is able. Now you understand, if my faith is in him and it's not in myself, then why am I trying to figure out how to make this possible? So in my own opinion, you figuring out how to make this thing possible is not putting your faith in God, it's putting your faith in yourself. Because when you put your faith in God, He will provide the answers. Now, I understand He does lead us and guide us, but Him lead us and guide us doesn't mean we have to sit and ponder our brains and research and figure out how it's going to work. It means we have to say, God, I'm in trouble. I have a highly improbable situation, but praise God that You love me so much, in spite of my stupidity sometimes. In spite of my stupid decisions I make. Because you know what? That's the thing. Sometimes what happens is we make dumb decisions, maybe some dumb financial decisions, maybe some dumb other decisions that put us in a situation that's not good. And sometimes I've seen people even, you know, almost feel, well, I deserve this because I put myself in this situation. Well, you know what? Even if you do deserve it, our God loves us so much. He's not going to, He doesn't want you. Because it's not about what you deserve. It's about providing mercy and forgiveness. And you know, and you have to decide, it doesn't matter that I mess up. You know what? There is nothing that you can ever do that's going to separate you from the love of God. And you know, if you have children yourself, you know how much you love your own children, but how much more does God love you? You know, and so He doesn't want to see us suffer. And so a lot of times I watch people, and it's just like the person that says they're suffering for Jesus and they're not getting healed. They're not suffering for Jesus. They're suffering because of their stupidity. You know, whether it's their stupidity or whether they've been taught wrong or whatever, you know, maybe they that's why they have to understand what the Word of God says for themselves, not what Pastor so-and-so said many years ago. You know, but the thing about it is, it says, if you can believe, you know, that puts it all on you. Amen. Now, people don't like pressure on their back, all right? But it's not really a lot of pressure. It didn't say, if you can do it, all things are possible. It says, if you can believe. Now, what you are believing is Him, all right? Which brings me to my favorite scripture, and if I signed your Bible, I'd probably sign this scripture under my name, Mark 11:22, where Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Amen. See, my trust is in God. I believe in God. I'm not believing that I'm going to do anything. It's not about what I can or cannot do. My faith is not in myself. It's not in my ability. My faith is in God and His ability. And I know that my God can do all things. And I know if I can believe that my God can do all things in my life, even when it seems possible. All right? You understand, you know, the word nothing means no thing. I know this is basic English. You know, I don't want to lose you here. Nothing means no thing. And nothing, no thing is impossible to my God. All right? If I believe. All I have to do is I believe. I believe in God. Do you realize that none of you here are saved if you don't believe in God anyway? I mean, you know, basically the way we got saved was we believed that God sent His Son to this earth, to die on the cross for us. And that we believe through His death, burial, and resurrection, that we accept Him to become Lord and Savior of our life. You know, here's the thing. I've never seen one person go to somebody and says, I don't think you're really saved. I don't think you have enough faith to get saved. You know, but I've heard many people say, well, I don't think you have enough faith to get that or this or whatever. You know what? The same faith that gets you saved, it's the same faith that gets whatever you're going through, even if it seems impossible. So if you can get saved, if you can get saved, that means you can have your needs met. through that same faith. You know, I'm just trying to show you how easy it is. It's not hard, it's easy. We're the ones that make it hard because we start thinking about how hard it is and how it seems impossible, how it seems as highly unlikely, and, you know, how it's better, you know, you have a better chance of winning the lottery than getting that mat in your life. You know, I mean, see, the thing about it is, it's not about how hard. It's about, can you believe? Can you believe? Not about how hard it is, how highly unlikely. See, because in our own mind, but you know, because we're just natural. In our own mind, as we do research and as we look at our situation, whether it's healing, whether it's financial, whether it's emotional, whatever it is, we start thinking, well, you know, I don't see how. Well, I'm not putting my focus in on what you see. It's not about what you see, you see. It's about what I believe. All right, I don't believe what I see. I believe in my God. I believe, you know, the one that can do all things. All right? I'm not looking at the impossible. I'm looking at my God, who has proven over time to do many things that are impossible through many men and women. Oh, you know, from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, and even that's not recorded in the Bible. You know, through people that I know. I've seen many healings taking place. I've seen many financial blessings, miracles. I've seen all kinds of things happen. You know, because people, I mean, just because one man believed. I mean, you know, in my own life, it started, of course, obviously I had to be born first. Once I was born, and once I was able to understand the story about my grandfather, I mean, you know, it started with him believing, even though he called on the Baptist pastor and the pastor gave him no hope, he started planning his funeral. But thank God that my grandfather got a hold of what the word said. And said, well, you said that if we desire a well body, I desire a well body more than anything else in the world. And God said, get up. And he did. And because he did, you know, countless millions of people have been blessed across this earth through his ministry. You know, and the thing about it is, he was a 17-year-old who knew nothing really much about the Bible. I mean, I'm almost here to think that every one of you in this room probably knows more about the Bible than he did at that time. But guess what? He walked off in a very improbable situation. And he lived a long life. So why can't you believe? How hard is it for you to believe in God? I mean, we're talking about believing in God. We're not talking about believing in anything that you can do, but just putting your faith in God and his power and his ability. No matter how impossible it seems. Because there are some times where we look at situations and we're thinking, I don't see a way. But that's when you have to reach down on the inside. And decide, you know what? It's not about what I see. It's never about what I see. It's about what I know. You know, and I can't see it. But I know that my God is able. And through God, all things are possible. Well, moving forward, I'm gonna go back to my 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 5. Actually, this is the keynote scripture in my very first book, The Power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 5, and I'm going to go ahead and read that because we're running up close on time. Before some of you maybe aren't there yet. It says, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, or should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. See, my faith is not in what men say. It's not into what any kind of doctor's report says or any kind of any report says. You know, and we do, we say the scripture or sing the song, whose report are we going to believe? But are you going to be really a doer of the word? You know, I've even gone over people's houses and they pull out their doctor's report. Look what the doctor says. I don't care what the doctor says. You know, and I get it. You know, people want to show you, sometimes people just want to prove to you that they're really sick. Okay, I get it. I don't need a doctor's report to know you're sick. I can tell by looking at you. But let's put the doctor's report away. And let's quit focusing on that and focus on, you know, because it's not about staying in your sickness. It's about getting healed. And as long as you're focusing in on your sickness, you're not going to get healed. But when you decide to focus in on the greater one, when you decide to put your faith in God's power and his ability, that's when the healing comes. You have to get your mind out of man's wisdom. And, you know, and that's kind of hard because we live in a society that trains you from a young age that you need to know something. You got to go to school. You got to educate yourself. All right, you need to educate yourself. You need to get an education. And then, you know, in fact, it's required, you know, pretty much for you to go at least 12 years of school. And then some of you, you're thinking, that's not enough. I'm going to go even more. You know, but you know what I found? That doesn't matter how many degrees you have, doesn't get you healed. Because you're never going to figure it out on your own. You're never going to figure out, you know, you might figure out some things because of your education, but you can't figure it out at all. But you have to put your faith in God and his power and his authority. It's not about what somebody says. You know, I'm a stickler. My grandfather was a stickler for going to the doctor when you're sick and find out what the doctor says. So that way you know how to pray. But there's many times whenever I've, you know, with myself or other people, I say, all right, doctor, you know, what exactly do we need to happen in this body? Because I want to focus on my prayers on that way. This is what I tell God. This is what I need. This is what needs to take place in this body for it to become well. You know, but my faith is in the power of God. Another scripture, John chapter 15, verse 7. Says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. So if you know the word, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Notice it says ask what you desire, or the King James says ask what you will. Because there's people that tell me, well, you can't believe for that. Well, why not? It's what I desire. It's what I will. It says if you ask, it shall be done. Why? Because I asked. Because I know what God's word says. Because I put my faith in him and his power and his ability. Another scripture. If my mom ever signed your Bible, she put this scripture in her Bible. Philippians 4:13. So I just gave you the trifecta. I put our favorite scriptures all in one sermon. All right. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, it doesn't say I can do all things. It just says if I know Christ, if I know him, if I put my trust in him, then I can do all things. All things also means get healed. Get through an impossible situation. I can do this. Not because I'm strong. I might be weak. But he's strong. My faith is not in what I can do. My faith is in the person who gives me the strength, and that's Jesus Christ. And you can do all things. I don't even say, tell my mom anymore that I can't do it. Because, you know, I can't fight against the scripture. I don't know how many times I've been in her office and she looked at me and said, I need you to do this. And I'm thinking, how am I going to do this? But I can't tell him I can't because she'll just quote the scripture to me. So I'm like, okay. Now there has been a couple of times I said, okay, we can do it, but it might cost. We'll figure out how to do it for cheaper. Okay. Well, you know, what am I going to do? I can't fight against God's word. You know, but the thing about it is, whenever you're having your pity party with your own self, Remember that scripture. I can do all things because Jesus Christ gives me the strength. It doesn't say, maybe I can. You know, well, there's a good chance I can. No, it doesn't. It says that you can. Or you will. Maybe you need to put it, I will do all things because I put my trust in Jesus Christ, my strengthener. Now, I can't do all things in my own ability, but I can with his. And I'm going to leave you off in the Old Testament. Good place to leave you. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. The New Living Translation says it this way. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you what path to take. I mean, you know, that's just really good. You know, in sports, a lot of times, you know, I know coaching and also playing, a lot of times, you know, the coach will tell you, he won't tell you to give it 100%, he'll tell you to give it 110%. Everything you have and more. Well, what the Bible is telling you is you need to 110% put your faith in God and his power and his ability. And when you do, don't be concerned about whether you understand it or not, how it's going to happen. It's not about you understanding. It's not about your understanding because my faith is not in the wisdom of men, even my own wisdom. I don't care how wise you are. I don't care if you're the fourth wise man in the Bible. Doesn't matter how wise you are. You know, my faith is not in my own wisdom. It's not about whether I can understand it or not. It's not about if I can see it or not. It's not about what I see. It's about what I believe. And see, a lot of times where we mess up our faith is we try to understand it. But this scripture tells us, don't even try to understand. Don't try to figure it out. You know, your brain can't comprehend God. All right? I don't try to comprehend God. I don't try. You know, I'm smart enough. See, I'm wise enough to understand that God has abilities that I don't. And if he wants to show me them, he'll show me them. But you know what? I'm not putting my faith in my own abilities. I'm going to put my faith in his ability. So I don't have to understand it. All right? Then it says to seek his will in all I do. And then he's going to show me. Doesn't say I'm going to have to figure it out on my own. It says that if I trust in him, he's going to show me what to do. I don't know how many times I've been in my shower. I don't know why it's in the shower. I'm a very anointed shower, I guess. Even when I lived in another house, my old house I lived in, that a shower was anointed. In fact, when I was in school, my shower, I don't know, there's something about me in the shower that's anointed. And I think I figured it out one time because, you know, when I'm, you know, I do think a lot. And I'm a person who thinks, I'm a person who does a lot of research or whatever. But when I'm in the shower, half the time I'm half asleep anyway. I'm not thinking. I'm not even praying. I'm just existing, letting the water run. And at that point in time, I don't know how many times God's talked to me in the shower. You know, he's told me some things I need to do. It's just amazing. You know, sometimes I just want to just get in the shower and bask in his presence, I guess. But, you know, it's just amazing. You know, when you least expect it, God just gives me direction. It doesn't even have to be in the shower, okay? So I don't want you to think, okay, I got to take a shower now. Maybe I need more than one a week. That may be good. Maybe that's the problem. All right. So, I don't know. My grandfather talked about that God talked to him more when he was shaving than any other time. So usually when he would have half his face shaved. You know, he'd always say, I got this half shaved and I fixed this heart. And all of a sudden my hand would start shaking. Or God would speak to me. You know, so I don't know. God speaks to me in the shower. But he might speak to you some other place. All right. I don't know. All right. So interesting part about it is, you know, both those times I was in the bathroom, dad, when my grandfather was in the bathroom, maybe speak to you on the toilet. I don't know. I mean, you know. I was just thinking about that. That's so I had to share it. I'm the kind of guy that likes to share everything. I'm very transparent, you know. So I kept thinking about it over and over again. Finally, I decided, just, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and share it. We all can get it together. But you know what? You know, I'm kind of being funny, but you know what? It doesn't matter where you are. God can talk to you. I mean, you know, even if you are sitting on the throne, I mean, he can talk to you at that point in time. And he can talk to you when you're driving in your car. He can talk to you when you sleep in your bed. You know, that is another time. I mean, there are times when I go to sleep, you know, and God talks to me when I'm sleeping. I wake up and I know what to do. You know, and it wasn't because I had just an anointed sleep. It wasn't because, you know, before I went to bed, well, Lord, just give me direction. Give me, it's just, God just talks to me. You know, and it's because, you know what? He said he's going to direct my path, and the only way to direct my path is to talk to me. But, you know, for God to talk to me, I have to have a relationship with him. You know, and, but the thing is, I got to put my trust in him wholeheartedly. You know, I understand that really without God, I'm nothing. I'm nothing without God. It's all about God. It's not about me. Not about what I'm going to do, because anything I accomplish, it's through God and through Christ that gives me the strength. You know, I don't take credit for anything, because you know what? It wasn't really me. It was I just followed God, and God made the way. So my point is, quit putting your putting your focus on the problem and the situation that seems improbable. But I want you to put your faith wholeheartedly, 110%, that in your God, who is able to get you through any situation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for each and every person that's here. But Father God, we just thank you as they're going through tough times, as they're going through times that seem highly improbable that they'll get through it. Father God, we thank you that they'll remember this message, this simple little message. They'll remember that they can put their faith and their trust in you. They will remember that they can get through it. They can remember that they can do all things because Jesus Christ is giving them the strength. And we thank you, Father, that you'll help us to understand and you'll bring things back to our remembrance every time. We thank you, Father, that you'll be there to help them and to guide them and to lead them in every time. And we just give you the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's all stand up. If you need prayer for anything, whether it be salvation, whether it be the Holy Spirit, whether it be healing, whether it be you're just going through some stuff and need someone to pray with you, we have some prayer partners up here, women over here, men over there. So if you're a woman, you go to this side. If you're a man, you go to that side. If you can't figure it out, you know, who you are, what bathroom you use, go talk to one of our ushers and they'll help you, guide you, and lead you to the right appropriate place. All right. If you are a first time visitor, we would like you to come back. We do appreciate you, though. And we have our connection team, and they're in the aisle, and they want to take you right now, and they want to give you a gift that we have for you. And we invite you to come back here on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. or and 6 p.m. and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Amen. Well, God's a good God. Amen. 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 Turn around, shake hands with two or three people, and you're dismissed.